No matter where you are, happy Independence Day from all of us here at the Texas Standard. We're honored you're spending a bit of your 4th of July with us. I'm David Brown. This morning, an editorial in the New York Times takes up the issue of America's independence through the lens of the 14th Amendment, framing it as the second American Revolution that reinvented our nation, among other things. The 14th Amendment, as you may know, forbids states from restricting the basic rights of citizens and demands equal protection of the laws. It certainly was revolutionary. Since 1868, it's been invoked in countless cases that have reshaped the American landscape, cases like Brown versus Board of Education, the school desegregation decision, and University of California versus Bakke, the 1978 decision permitting colleges to use race as a factor in admissions to promote diversity and remedy the effects of past discrimination. But right now, that principle is being challenged on several fronts. For instance, Harvard is facing a major discrimination suit alleging that its system of considering race as a factor has systematically excluded some Asian American applicants in order to hold slots open for students of other races. And in 2016, the Supreme Court sided with the University of Texas when a white woman claimed she was denied admission on the basis of race. That case, Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin, reaffirmed that race could be used as one factor among many in college admissions. In recent years, that's been the official position of the U.S. Department of Education and the Justice Department. But that's about to change. Michael Olivas is the William B. Bates Distinguished Chair in Law at the University of Houston Law Center and Director of the Institute for Higher Education, Law and Governance. He's also author of Suing Alma Mater, Higher Education and the Courts. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much.
The Trump administration has announced it's removing guidance from the Obama administration supporting race as a factor in college admissions. But it was just guidance, a recommendation that didn't carry any legal authority. So what does removing it do?
Well, what it does is continue the Trump administration's policy of anything that was Obama-related has just got to be bad. There is nothing material that has occurred, including this much-touted case at Harvard, that makes any difference in the political stance. The advice was very carefully arrived at. It was nuanced. It was meaningful. It was helpful. And as a former college president myself, I was the interim president at the University of Houston downtown. We took great care in being fair to all of our applicants. And the Harvard case, ironically, was cited by Bakke as an exemplar of the way that elite institutions can, in fact, use race in a very nuanced and small and necessary fashion. But it will have no bearing upon anything. The case hasn't even been tried yet.
Yeah.
They're still at the discovery stage. And simply take, I call it the Baskin-Robbins theme. You just simply take a number. And if you're looking for some traction following in the wake of Ed Blum, the lawyer who's brought this case, as well as others, usually for aggrieved white plaintiffs who are absolutely convinced, as Fisher was, that because she wasn't admitted to the University of Texas at Austin, that some lesser deserving or undeserving Mexican or black student took her place that was rightfully held for her.
Professor, we're tight on time, but I want to go to UT's response. They are saying that the Fisher case reaffirmed the University of Texas's efforts to enroll a diverse student body that provides educational benefits for all students, signaling that they won't be changing their admission policies with the Trump administration's move. But I wonder, is it possible that the Trump administration could use this change in guidelines as justification to, for example, sue a college or university, or perhaps try to deny federal funds, or launch an investigation into admission policies?
Well, there's so many other parades of horribles out there that the government could do, including enforcing the rules about proprietary schools and how they're ripping off veterans and poor students. This is simply a non-issue. Again, there's been nothing that has happened since Bakke that has ever doubted the availability of race to be used. If a state wants to do away with it, as they did in California and Michigan, they may have state ballot measures. So the most diverse state that we have with the most Asian students is California, where race may not be used. And they're very heterogeneous. They're almost commensurate with the population.
Mm-hmm.
This is simply another lawyer looking as part, frankly, of a white supremacist viewpoint who is confident that if an underrepresented minority gets in, it has been at the expense of someone who was more qualified.
We just have a couple of seconds. Do you imagine that under the rubric of this change, we might see more court challenges to college admission policies?
No, I don't think so. Most institutions, frankly, are under-enrolled. That is, they're looking for students. They need more students. Our college enrollments are down. The percentage of high school graduates going on to college has declined. Mm-hmm. Institutions are looking for students, and they have no interest in attracting high-achieving applicants only to turn them down. And Harvard is no different. This is a case that's still in the making, and it would be 5 years from now if it ever went to the Supreme Court. And there's no other case making its way forward that would cause a circuit split. I think that the issue of affirmative action is well established. It has been since 1977, and there's nothing that has occurred that makes any difference right now, no matter what the lawyers for the plaintiffs have insisted.
Michael Olivas is the William B. Bates Distinguished Chair in Law at the University of Houston Law Center. He's also director of the Institute for Higher Education, Law, and Governance. Professor, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.